are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men, a program about authentic masculinity. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you every second and fourth Friday of the month, right here at Holy Spirit Radio. That's 1570 AM in Doylestown, Philadelphia area, 1420 Coatesville, Chester County area. So it's such a blessing to always be back with you live. Here we are on December the 9th, Friday. And we're going to begin this prayer as we begin all good things. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. We ask St. Augustine to pray for us, and we ask for the intercession of St. Juan Diego today. And I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his last name because it's just too difficult. But I want to talk a little bit about St. Juan Diego today. I want to talk about Advent. Here we are coming upon the third week of Advent, third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. The third Sunday of Advent has traditionally been called Gaudete Sunday. The Latin word gaudete means rejoice. Rejoice is the first word of the entrance antiphon for the Mass on Sunday. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And this text is taken from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4. So this call to rejoice is the reason why the candle to be lit on this Sunday is usually that pink or rose color, and the priest's vestments are rose. They don't like to call them pink, but they're rose. And so we're getting closer to the coming of Christ. And so this is something that us as Catholics, I think, it becomes very pedestrian. Very pedestrian. Here at the King's Men program today, I want to talk about how we can approach the birth of Christ. It's not something that happened 2,000 years ago, as Father Larry just talked about on his program, but something that is real and present to us to this day, that there is a renewal of Christ's birth in our lives, a rebirth. And I want to get into that today because I think that's very difficult for us as Catholics, especially as Catholic men. I think we, as Catholic men, somehow have a hard time entering into that mystery. Now, why do I say that? Because women are very spiritually gifted, and men are too, but women are spiritually gifted in the whole manner of which they're created, right? Their physiology, their bodily morphology is designed to receive life, to always be open. It's just the way God made them. They are, they make babies in their bodies. So their life, their bodies, their life is always about reception, receiving the gifts, receiving God's gifts. And so as we just celebrated the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary yesterday, we have this wonderful example for us in the Blessed Mother. And I think most women understand that there's a deeper meaning to their life as mothers. And they understand things spiritually, I would say. And those that are inclined, and certainly women can reject the faith and the Lord just like anybody. But I think women who are interested in going deeper with the knowledge of who Christ is and who Our Lady is for them, what she represents. I think women find an easier path, can I say? And please don't be offended, men. I just think the women are more open. I mean, there are three women at the foot of the cross and one man. So look at those numbers. And these are being disciples of Christ, of course. Look at those numbers. For every one man, there's three women. Okay, so there's this challenge that I put forward to the men of our audience today to really go deeper, to go deeper into the mystery of the Nativity and what this means. And my goal today is to help you go deeper. When I'll talk about a saint, Juan Diego, who is a male saint who went deep. The story of him is 500 years old. And yet he was recently canonized in 2002. Thousands of people gathered in the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe on July 31st, 2002, for the canonization of Juan Diego, which St. Pope John Paul II was presiding. So we're going to talk about him and through the lens of Juan Diego, how a man went deeper. And what's the parallel for us today as men as we ponder the wonderful gift of the Advent season? Before we go to our first break, I'm just going to update you on the Kingsmen, then we'll dive more deeply into this Advent season, and we'll talk about Juan Diego, and we'll talk about how we can best prepare as men to have that rebirth in our lives. So the Kingsmen are winding down this year. We've completed our retreat seasons. We just finished our final retreat, Into the Wild retreat, at Fort Parker State Park in Mejia, Texas. So we drove down to Texas, not far from Mexico. We were probably 4 hours, 5 hours from the border, maybe less than that. And we're going to talk about Juan Diego today. So we brought the Into the Wild outdoor experiential program to the Texas area. Had many Mexican Americans there. And it was a wonderful gift to be able to complete that journey this year, the retreat season. 70 men attended that retreat. Praise God. It was great. It was one. We were at Old Fort Parker as well. So we had the Fort Parker State Park in Mejia as well as Old Fort Parker. And this was a fort. Picture a fort like any fort from the colonial period, the 1800s or whatever, designed to keep the native American Indians out of their fort. So it was a protection, right? So we were doing our program there in this fort where the Parker family was once massacred by the local Indians there. So that was really interesting. However, the story goes that the Parker family, the children were abducted. And these children were taken into the tribe of the Indians, and they did not kill them, and they raised them. In fact, there's one Cynthia Ann Parker, who was one of the daughters of the Revolutionary War soldier, the patriarch of the family, Grandpa Parker, who was killed by the Indians that day. The granddaughter, or the daughter, I could be mistaken on that, but anyhow, she didn't want to leave. They actually found her again after many years, about 30, I would say she was 9 when she was abducted, and they found her when she was 35. So 20-some years later, 26 years later, they found her, and they took her back. But she wanted to go. She wanted to go back. She married an Indian chief, and what happened was, and she shortly died there after her, she was for the second time abducted, taken back. She died. Her son became the last great chief, and he was very instrumental in bringing about peace with the American people in that area, with the Indian people. And isn't that a beautiful way that story has come full circle? So we were able to be in this fort where all this kind of began, the origin of it. And it was very, very powerful to be there and have our program. And so we also finished up our Samson Healing Retreat. We had one the first weekend in November. And that was amazing, our 11th Samson Healing Retreat. We'll be doing another one Palm Sunday weekend, April 6th through the 9th. So if you'd like to come on a healing retreat with the Kingsmen, we'll be running advertisements here at Holy Spirit Radio. You'll hear about it. But April 6th to the 9th is the next healing retreat. That's Palm Sunday weekend. We always do a Palm Sunday weekend. And again, it's always at Hamilton, New Jersey's Discovery House. So it's a beautiful place to retreat, and we invite you to consider that for next year. We've also posted our retreat dates, and there's some of them are tentative for the End of the Wild as well. We're going to be doing three in the Pennsylvania area, two locally. So I'll give you those websites. Again, if you want to go check out the Healing Retreat, SamsonRetreat.com. And if you want to go to End of the Wild this year, we will be having three local ones. Well, two local, two in the Bucks County area and one in the Pittsburgh area. So fairly local. When you look at the vast, reach of this retreat, we've been in Arizona, Texas, and we'll go back to Arizona and Texas in 2017. But more information can be found at endofthewildweekend.com. And finally, before we go to this break, I'll share with you our stocking stuffer. So we have this stocking stuffer that we've put out to our network, and I'll put it out to you today. Stocking stuffer. If you'd like to go to the End of the Wild Weekend, we give a special Christmas gift, a special discounted gift for those that would like to procure or reserve their spot for any End of the Wild in 2017. And we give a really great offer, a great discount of $85 off the price of this retreat. So the retreat is $295 regularly. You can come for $210 and you can reserve that. So it would be the gift. You could give that to somebody this year for Christmas, a loved one, a family member, a husband, a son, to go to End of the Wild. Give them the gift of, as we're saying, leader, protector, provider. Give them the gift of leader, protector, provider, $210. If you'd like to learn more about that, you can email me, mark@thekingsmen.org. Again, check it out at endofthewildweekend.com as well. So we're going to go to our first break. We're going to go to our first break right now.
My name is Joe Zimmerman, and my brother and I own Summers and Zims. We would be pleased to provide you with high-quality service for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. We are pleased to serve the listeners in Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. Our phone number at Summers and Zims is 610-593-5129, or you can simply Google Summers and Zims. My prayer is that God would bless you through His Word as you listen to Holy Spirit Radio.
A quote from St. Vincent de Paul, "Whoever makes little account of exterior mortifications, alleging that the interior are more perfect, shows clearly that he is not mortified at all, either exteriorly or interiorly."
Luke 5:16 reads, "He withdrew himself into the wilderness to pray."
A manly minute with Mark Houck of the Kingsmen.
There's something special about going on a men's retreat. When this retreat is combined with an outdoor experience, it is quite often prime for a transformational encounter with God. Jesus was always retreating into deserted places to pray and be with his Father. In sacred scripture, God often reveals himself on a mountaintop. Moses on Mount Sinai, Jesus with his Sermon on the Mount and Transfiguration. Where are you finding God in your journey as a man today? If you are struggling to know God's plan for your life, I invite you to do as Jesus did and retreat into the wilderness. There are many retreat programs in the church today. I invite you to check out these exciting transformational retreat opportunities in your area.
For more information on authentic masculinity, visit thekingsmen.org.
Welcome back. Kingsmen Radio Program, second and fourth Friday of the month. Mark Houck, your host. Blessed to be with you live today in the studio, Friday, December 9th. Just celebrated the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And then on the heels of that is the Feast of St. Juan Diego. That's today. And you know what's interesting? On the 12th, Monday, is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, how often this happens in the church, we have bookend kind of stories with the feast days. So Juan Diego's life is intimately tied with Our Lady of Guadalupe. Obviously, his sanctity is totally connected with Our Lady's appearance, right? That's the whole reason for his journey into canonization was what he was revealed to him through Our Lady's presence in Guadalupe 500 years ago. And isn't it interesting that we have the Immaculate Conception right before then? okay? But also cool, I think of St. Augustine, the patron saint of the Kingsmen. St. Monica, his mom, who's so influential in his life and so intimately tied to his sanctity, and her own, is feast day is the day before Augustine's. And I think that's great that Holy Mother Church, and I don't think there's any coincidence there that Holy Mother Church does that. For instance, I'm looking at the liturgical calendar now, and we have Christmas on the 25th this year. And isn't it appropriate that St. Stephen's feast day is celebrated the day after Christmas? So it's like the greatest gift in the world, Christ, who came into the world to die. And that's the example he sets and says, if you love me, you will do as I do and you will follow me, right? Well, when we follow Christ, we know we're following him to the cross. And who was the first martyr? Stephen. So I think that's pretty cool that the church has these wonderful feast days. And I don't think there's any coincidence, again, with those things. But anyhow, let's talk about St. Juan Diego. Because as I said, St. Juan Diego is a manly saint, of course. And it took 500 years for the church to recognize his sanctity in by declaring him a saint. Obviously, the devotions to him for many years, but it takes time sometimes. For instance, John Paul II was canonized within 10 years of his life, and his process of canonization was very quick, as was Mother Teresa's. Longer for Mother than John Paul II, but nonetheless, a very quick turnaround. St. Therese took 28 years or so before she was canonized. So a quick turnaround. But for little Juan Diego, it was that poor Indian peasant, the first saint indigenous to the Americas. It took about 500 years. And so that canonization took place on July 31st, 2002 in Guadalupe, Mexico, to whom again the Blessed Mother appeared in the 16th century. So St. John Paul II celebrated that ceremony. The Holy Father called the new saint a simple, humble Indian who accepted Christianity without giving up his identity as an Indian. Interesting. In praising the Indian Juan Diego, this is quoting John Paul II, I want to express to all of you the closeness of the Church and the Pope, embracing you with love and encouraging you to overcome with hope the difficult times you're going through. You know, the country of Mexico is going through difficult times right now. There's a lot of violence against the church again. I'm reminded of the Cristero War. It seems very similar. There's great turmoil in Mexico right now. We need to pray for Mexico, and we need to pray through the intercession of St. Juan Diego for his beloved Mexico. But the country's in turmoil, and priests are dying. Priests are being murdered. And you think of Blessed Miguel Pro and all the saints from that time period who witnessed to the love of God in their life. Viva Cristo Rey, right? Long live Christ the King. And so John Paul II prophetically on his canonization of Juan Diego saying, I encourage you to overcome with hope the difficult times you're going through. John Paul said, among the thousands present for the event were members of Mexico's 64 indigenous groups. No doubt one of the groups where Juan Diego hailed from. I can't pronounce this, but first called the Eagle Who Speaks. That's like the last name that's kind of attributed to him. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. But Juan Diego's name is forever linked with Our Lady of Guadalupe because it was to him that she first appeared at Tepeyac Hill on December 9th, 1531. So here we are, the day of the apparition. Not the, typically the day that the saint died, but the day of the apparition. And so in 1531, the most famous part of his story is told in connection with the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe on December 12th, as we alluded to earlier. After the roses gathered in his tilma were transformed into the miraculous image of Our Lady. However, little more is said about Juan Diego. In time, he lived near the shrine constructed at Tepeyac, as this little story about Juan Diego. He lived near that shrine, revered as a holy, unselfish, and compassionate catechist who taught by word and especially by example. This is an important message for us as men, that the life of Juan Diego is to be obviously emulated. I call him saint because we need to emulate those lives. But for us as men, it's not a matter of what you say, but your unselfish, compassionate service to God and His church and His people, the example He set. During his 1990 pastoral visit to Mexico, Pope John Paul II confirmed the longstanding liturgical cult in honor of Juan Diego. So there was a cult, a following. When you say cult, I guess you think of a cult. There's a big difference. And I think, I used to think they were almost the same thing. But a cult is more, it's a demonic thing, right? An occult, witchcraft, you know, all those things that go along with the demonic. This is a cult, a liturgical cult, which, in other words, there's a devotion there. The cult of the man Juan Diego, who people prayed to. And so the church acknowledged that. But this was a 500-year journey where people were praying to Juan Diego and reflecting on his life. But yet the man who was so humble was not elevated to that great sanctification of sainthood in the church. He was not elevated to that. He was remained just the humble peasant who had the vision of Mary appearing to him. Why is this important? Because I think for us as men, we overcomplicate God. It wasn't overcomplicated for Juan Diego. He was told to do something and he did it. And that's what he did. And he just stayed near the place where he was found himself. He grew where he was planted, as the old saying is. Go grow where you are planted. And I think this is tough for us as men because we want to do great things. We want to do big things. We want to make our mark. You know, we're kind of encouraged to do that as young people, to make your mark in the world, to leave, you know, your legacy, if you will. And there's a goodness about some of that. Well, don't get me wrong, but when we think of Juan Diego and we think of his life, did he make his mark? I don't know in worldly terms if he did. I don't think they would say he did, but in the church's mind, in the mind of God, there's no greater mark than to have yourself be declared a saint. And he lived a simple, humble, peasant life. What are we to take from that as men? Well, I think no matter where you find yourself, whether you're blessed with great wealth or struggling to make ends meet or somewhere in between, or find yourself even homeless on the street, your call is to live your life in honor and glory to God. And how do you best do that? Now, some people are stripped away of material things, and that helps them live a life of sanctity. And for those of us who have a lot of things materially, it's harder to be sanctified. Can you be sanctified? Sure. Sure you can. But you must be a great steward of those gifts, a tremendous steward to achieve sanctity. It's easier to be stripped away. And I think some people actually choose to live that way. For us as men, I think we have to enter deeply into this reality of Christ coming into the world in a manger, right? This is something, men, I challenge you to reflect upon in your prayer life, or even just as you're driving in the car. Christ came into the world and he was stripped of everything, naked in a manger where animals eat their food. You don't get further reduced than that. You are the poorest of the poor. Your crib is a manger. Your crib is where animals eat. You have no clothes to wear. You have no home to call at this point. You are in a cave. And you are stripped, and you are as naked as you are the day you enter the world. You are stripped. When I say naked, I mean you're stripped. You are completely without anything. Okay, you are bare. You are without, and yet Jesus gives Joseph and Mary everything. They have nothing, but they have everything because they have Jesus. Men, ponder that. If you don't have a lot, let's say you don't have a lot to give your kids, and you have children, you're concerned, you're stressed, you're anxious because you can't provide your children with the latest and the greatest or all the things that they are asking for. Remember, the greatest gift you can give them is the love of God, right? And a relationship with Him, introducing that to them. And so we need to go deeper in that thought, that Christmas is not about the materialism. No, spend less time shopping and spend more time praying this Advent. Spend less time running around and spend more time sitting at the feet of those whom you love, or your parents perhaps, or sitting down and playing with your children. You know, these are things that I think men need to do to go deeper, that I think women get much more easily than men, that they understand, like, you need to be present to your children. This is something I struggle with. My children see their father running around serving God's people through the ministry of the Kingsmen, and I'm away a lot, and I'm serving others, but I'm not serving them. Now, when I'm home, I'm serving them, of course. And of course, this is the work that I'm called to and that it provides for my family, and I have to fulfill that. But when I'm home, I need to be home, and I need to be present. I need to be reminded that it's not about how many souls that I'm a part of saving, although that's very important. God entrusted me with the care of my wife and my children. I must not neglect that responsibility. That's a greater responsibility than going saving a soul, because God entrusted you with souls, your spouse and your children. Those are the first souls we need to be concerned with. I think men get caught up in providing for our families and providing for others and providing for our businesses and providing for our people and providing for our stockholders and providing for our community. What is needed is the reality of meditation on the Christ child, the King of Kings, coming into the world with nothing and yet having everything. You see, we need to enter into that mystery. That needs to be reborn this Advent. We need to have a rebirthing of, oh, my phone's ringing. I got to turn that off. We need to have a rebirthing, a renewal of that understanding in our life. That mystery and that awe, that wonder that we see in our kids' eyes at Christmas. Yeah, maybe it's flowered by the message of Santa Claus and Saint Nicholas, and there's a wonderful joy there, and that's okay. My wife and I made a decision years ago that we weren't going to teach the message of Santa Claus, but we weren't going to stifle it either, because there was a wonderful joy that we both took as children in the knowledge and the hope that maybe there is a Santa Claus, and truly there is Saint Nicholas, right? The bishop of long ago. That's who Santa Claus is. That's the embodiment of Santa Claus today, or the manifestation, if you will, of the saint who would go around as a bishop and leave gifts in his community, his dioceses, his people of his diocese, there in their windows, and he would come in their homes when they weren't there and leave gifts for them. So we see that wonderful example, the man of God, that's who Santa Claus is. So teach that, friends. Teach that to your children. We don't stifle that. But at the same time, there's this wonderful excitement and the hope and the joy and the knowledge that maybe there is a Santa Claus. So what we need to do is rekindle for ourselves the excitement and the joy that not is that there's a Santa Claus, but that there is a Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us, who is truly present to us every moment of our lives, and that we can enter into every day, each and every day, in that mystery, in that knowledge that I think women have an easier time of doing, that we and men must be intentional. We must intentionally try to make an effort to know Jesus Christ in our lives. We must invite Him in.
We must ask Him to be present to us, to speak through us, to use us, to be our brother. Indeed, He is. But I think we lose sight of that. We forget. And I think Juan Diego got that. I think he understood what that was all about. When Juan Diego was told by the bishop about his vision, told the bishop about his vision and his wish that a shrine be built there, which is Our Lady's message to him, he described a woman who appeared to him as Te Quetzalcoatl. The bishop's interpreter misunderstood what he heard and thought Juan was referring to a shrine to the Virgin in Guadalupe, Spain. Actually, Te Guadalupe means woman who crushes the serpent. Juan Diego believed the woman who had appeared to him was stronger than a serpent god, the most powerful of all Aztec gods. He recognized something greater than himself there. Not fully understanding, he moved forward in the knowledge that there is a presence greater than himself. And Mary manifesting, of course, who she is, her yes to God, is our great example. And so she appears to the peasant Juan Diego, who's not going to question. And she goes to the bishop and communicates her message. And the people of Mexico were saved and converted. And God used an ignorant, if I could say, peasant of these eternal truths, but received them through Mary, the woman who crushes the head of the serpent, Satan, as we heard in the gospel yesterday at Mass, or excuse me, in the first reading, that God told the woman and Adam and the serpent in the garden that I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman. That's Mary. And so Juan Diego believes the woman to be the serpent god, this woman who crushes the head of the serpent, Satan. As we see in that tilma, Our Lady is doing just that. Men, what is the serpent in your life? We've talked about this time and time again. Perhaps this Advent, we can begin to reflect on how Mary can best assist us in our journey as men, and her role. She helped Juan Diego become a saint, and she helped the people of Mexico become a saint. Mary helped the apostles fulfill their call as men, as apostles, and certainly the women of her day, I'm sure she helped. How can Mary help us? And this time of Immaculate Conception, this time of Our Lady of Guadalupe, right here, planted right in the middle of Advent, for us, is it a coincidence? Absolutely not. Reflect on Mary's role, her yes to God. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is from age to age. To those who fear Him, He has shown might with His arm, dispersed the arrogant of mind and heart. He has thrown down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the lowly. The hungry He has filled with good things. The rich He has sent away empty. He has helped Israel, His servant, remembering His mercy, according to His promise to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. It's Mary's Magnificat. This is her declaration, what God has done through her. God can do the same thing through us today. The Greek word here in the blessed, the word that's used in Mary's Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, for Mary being blessed, all generations will call me blessed, means inner happiness. That's what blessed means. It has a lot to do with being peaceful, being able to say yes to the life that I've been given, not the life that I wish I have. Mary is happy because she says yes to God, and she trusted Him, and that was her path to peace. There are some things, brothers, sisters in Christ, in our life that we cannot change. for the better. But much of our life is about learning how to say yes to the things that you can't change. Accepting that cross, accepting the suffering. Life will not always be about your bidding. You know, God is not always there to do everything we want him to do. We need to accept with our fiat, with our own fiat, and ask God to give us the courage and strength to do what he's asking us to do. We're going to go to our second break right now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about entering more deeply and how we invite Christ into our life in the second, going on third week of Advent, how we can become happy and peaceful, as I'm sure Juan Diego spent the rest of his days, peaceful in the knowledge of what God had revealed to him, but also just in his example as a catechist. We'll talk a little bit more about Juan Diego and Our Lady of Guadalupe coming up soon on Monday, and we'll talk more about our role as men and how we can best navigate through this time of Advent. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit of God, and make within us your dwelling place and home. May our darkness be dispelled by your light, and our troubles calmed by your peace. May all evils be redeemed by your love, all pain transformed through the suffering of Christ, and all dying glorified by his risen life. Amen.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Their mission is to provide financial support to area crisis pregnancy homes and centers and educate the community regarding sanctity of life issues from conception until natural death.
In the medieval code of chivalry, during the time of the Crusades, every crusader had to swear to defend the weak, the orphan, the widow, and the oppressed. He should be courteous, and women should receive his special care.
A Manly Minute with Mark Houck of the Kingsmen.
Restoring the forgotten art of chivalry today begins with a radical rejection of the male passivity that is plaguing the men of our society and church. Men need to reclaim for themselves the characteristics of knighthood. Some of these include fearing God and maintaining his church, speaking truth at all times, and persevering to the end in any enterprise begun. Jesus Christ was the first knight. He fought for the welfare of all of us. As men, we must follow Christ's example and become chivalrous knights once again. We must keep faith and take our own modern-day oath of allegiance to the Lord.
For more information on authentic masculinity, visit thekingsmen.org.
Okay, here we are, second half of this live radio program, The King's Men, second and fourth Friday at Holy Spirit Radio. I am Mark Houck, your host. Can't even say my own name. I am here reflecting on the second week of Advent. We're coming upon Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. Are you rejoicing in the busyness of the season? Oh my, oh my. Have you decorated your home? Is that a stress to you because you're not keeping up with the Joneses when it comes to the lighting of your house or all the things that is happening around us, the hustle and bustle? Well, I'm here today to tell you to stop stressing out over those things because there's some things more important about the reality of this season, and that is what's going to happen on the 25th. And if you're like me as a man, as a Catholic man, you kind of looked at that day as, oh, let's remember Jesus being born in a stable 2,000 years ago. No. Brother, you missed the boat. If you are just saying, oh, we're just remembering the birth of Jesus, we're memorializing that, then you're missing the whole point of Christmas. Sure, that happened 2,000 years. Sure, we recognize that. We pray. We the St. Andrew Novena prayer. I've been praying it with my wife. Powerful prayer. Hail and blessed be the hour and the moment which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. Yeah, we remember that. But that's not all the day's about. That's just what happened 2,000 years ago. What's happening for you today? How is Christ coming into you? How are you inviting the light of the world into your life? That's the message of Christmas. How do you invite the light of the world that St. John talks about in the beginning of his gospel? That light in the midst of the darkness of this day, of this age. Juan Diego knew that. Juan Diego, whose feast we celebrate today, was given tremendous insight into the glory of God as Mary appears to him. As you reflect on Mary and whom she seems to appear to over the years, they're peasant people. Think of Bernadette of Lourdes. You think of the Fatima children, Jacinta, Lucia, Francesco. You think of the children of Medjugorje today. The approved apparitions, not that Medjugorje is approved as yet, that apparitions are still taking place, but of the approved apparitions, Juan Diego. Simple people, a simple man, giving great insight into the greatest disciple that ever lived, Mary, the first disciple. Insight into who the Mother of God is, and what does that mean for us today? What did it mean for Juan Diego? You better believe Juan Diego, if he didn't have a devotion to Our Lady, he did after that apparition, right? Of course he did. He's a man. Men, you gotta pray to Our Lady. You want to go deeper in this Advent season? Ask Mary. Ask Mary to help you go deeper. It's as simple as that. Pray the rosary. Oh, I don't like the rosary. I don't like the rosary. It takes too long. I don't want to sit for 17 minutes. As Fulton Sheen tells us, the optimal human attention span is 17 minutes. Or psychologists, I should say, tell us that. Fulton Sheen thought it was the perfect prayer because it pulls in the mind, the body, the spirit. Our mind meditates on the mystery. Our hands, our physical bodies move the beads, and our hearts and souls are transcended all at once. The perfect prayer. Why do we avoid it? I want to be holy. I want to be a saint. But you don't want to do the work to get there. In this Advent season, let's look at Juan Diego, who probably didn't want to go do what Our Lady was asking him to do. Didn't want to travel to see the bishop, declare what he witnessed, probably was feeling a little unworthy. Couldn't you find somebody else? But yet he remains a witness. He was a witness to God's intervention into the world, Christ coming into the world as a baby, and Mary's apparitions over the years. It's heaven coming down on earth. You know, Our Lady, the Queen of heaven and earth, coming into the world. You know, Christ will be coming again at the second coming, but he came into the world as a baby. Once again, Mary coming into the world, intervening in our existence, guiding her people like she guided the Christ child to the knowledge of God. Certainly Mary and Joseph were tasked with teaching the little Jesus all that he needed to know in the human side of Jesus. Certainly Jesus knows who he is, but tasked with that responsibility. Why would we doubt that Mary wouldn't help us? She does. She will. God counted on Juan Diego to play a humble yet huge role in bringing the good news to the people of Mexico, overcoming his own fears and doubts as he went to the bishop. As I said, Juan Diego cooperated with God's grace in showing his people that the good news of Jesus is for everyone. And as Pope John Paul II used that occasion at his beatification to urge the Mexican laymen and laywomen to assume their responsibilities for passing on the good news and witnessing to it. That message is for us today, not just for the Mexican people. It's not just a celebration for the Mexican people today. It is our celebration. It is for Holy Mother Church. These saints are elevated to help us get to heaven, to look to their example. He was tasked with a mission. You are tasked with a mission as men to lead your families to holiness, as head of your households. The Kingsmen, we say leader, protector, provider. You are tasked to take that message into your family. And where the man fails in that responsibility, the family suffers. We have a responsibility to be brave, to be bold, to lead our families to holiness, to lead ourselves closer to Jesus. This Advent season, don't miss the opportunity. Go deeper. Go deeper into the mystery. Ask God to give you a greater understanding of that mystery, and He will. That's the beauty of God. He will honor that prayer. Brothers, it's nothing more than inviting Jesus into our lives. And I know that sounds really cliche, I guess, spiritually speaking, but it's true. Invite Jesus in. Help Him mend your broken heart. Help Him take over in your life. Surrender what you cannot control. Surrender everything. But the realities are there are things in our lives that are out of order and chaotic, and they're totally oppressing us. Give those up. Surrender. Give over to Jesus. Give those things over, and then give everything else over. Give the difficult stuff, and then give the easy stuff, and give it all over to Our Lady, and she will present it to her Son. Nothing is yours. Christ came into the world with nothing, and we came into the world with nothing. We will leave with nothing. Nothing is yours. At this time of giving, at the end of the year, Christ is the ultimate gift. But people give a lot at the end of the year, sometimes for tax reasons, sometimes for the purposes of benefiting themselves. Wouldn't it be great this time, this Advent season, to give from our excess out of love of God, for God, not love of the deduction, love of the benefit, tax law-wise? I mean, our new president-elect talked a lot about this, how he took advantage of the tax law, and don't blame him that he took advantage of the tax laws. They are not put in place by his own will. He just used it to his advantage. That's not what we're saying right now. We're not saying use this time of Advent or this end of this year season to take advantage of anything except the mercy and love of God, that we give out of love of God. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, says St. Paul in his writings. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Give out of love. And maybe sometimes give out of what you need. Maybe it's a matter of saying, hey, I think I need this, but I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give it up. Well, Mark, you're saying, is this Lent, Advent? It doesn't seem like Lent to me. Why are you talking about giving things up? Because we should be doing that every day of the year. And this Advent season is a time of penance too. Why is the priest always in purple vestments? It's penitential. We're preparing. We're purging. If you haven't gone to confession, go to confession. This is a wonderful season to prepare our hearts, to make straight the path, right? As John the Baptist would declare in the desert, and he was doing it since he was 5 years old. That's right. The tradition in the church says that St. John the Baptist left his mother and father at 5 years of age to go in the desert. Can you believe that? Yeah, I can believe that. You know why? Because it's all about God. And that boy was consecrated in the womb. We knew it. He's jumping in the womb. He knows his mission. He's doing it when he's a neonate in the womb, when he's just a baby 6 months old in his mother's womb. He knew what he was all about even then. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that a five-year-old would go begin that work. And you say, well, how can a five-year-old survive? Well, how can a 12-year-old survive for 3 days without his mother and father in a huge town like Jerusalem during the Passover time? Jesus Christ, God provides. Mary was brought to the temple at age 3. She leaves her mother and father at age 3. I mean, what can I tell you? Times were different. Prepare ye the way, right? You're 42 years old, Mark. That's how old I am. However old you are. Prepare the way. Start making straight your life. This Advent season is a time to examine ourselves more closely. What is keeping me from the love of the Christ child? What is keeping me from allowing Christ to be dwelling in my life? Christ among us. Am I holding Jesus back? Am I keeping him at arm's length because I want to live as I want to live? It's time to let go of that thinking, brother. It's time to let go of that thinking which says, it's all about me and what I need to do. I need to fulfill my responsibilities first, and I'll think about God second. That is the dumbest thing you could ever think. God is first, before job, before family, before wife, before children. God is first. You need to get your priorities straight. All of us do. God is first in our life. And then when we get that right, we can love our wives well. We can love our children well. But if we put our children or our wife before God or our job, we're going to have everything backwards. God must be first. He came into the world, gave up everything out of love for you. We need to put that first. We need to put the little babe and who he is into our mind's eye as we pray. And we think about the King of Kings coming in the lowliest manner, yet has everything. Has everything. Joseph and Mary have everything because they have Jesus. The little child Jesus has nothing, yet has everything to give. Wants nothing more than to share who he is, his life with us. And he gives his life. Isn't it worth for the next 2 weeks of Advent to give up our selfishness, our desires for material wealth, our desires to have a good end of the fourth quarter? Whatever it is. I mean, these are important realities. We all have duties and responsibilities, and God is not saying shirk them. And I am not saying that. But in the grand scheme of things, for instance, today I was at home, and I'm having coffee, and I'm drinking, and I'm cleaning up the dishes before I leave to come here to the studio. I have a 70-year-old mug that was my father's. It was something my dad used to drink his milk out of. It had Hopalong Cassidy on the cover of it, on the side of it. And it says, Hoppy drinks milk, and when you drink milk, you're as cool as any kid at school, right? This is the message. It's a little mug that was my father's that I cherish. It's my favorite mug. It doesn't even have a handle on it. It's designed to drink milk, but I put everything in it. I love this mug. It broke today. I lifted it up. This thing's 70 years old. I lifted it up, and it hit something in my sink, and it cracked. And I can't repair it. The pieces were too many and too small. So I had an opportunity this morning to say, am I attached to this little mug? As special as it is, I say, I need to detach. I can't take this out on my wife. I can't take this out on my children. As disappointed as I am over something material that means a lot, that was my father's, who's long been dead 30 years, something from his youth, I now have to. It's trash. I can't salvage it. And I had a choice to make. Do I be miserable and sad? Or do I reflect on the gift that it was to me and let it go? That's what I have to do. Because there are more important realities. Loving my children. Loving my wife. Being kind is more important than any keepsake. And we hold on to these things in our lives. And I think as men, we struggle with this. We struggle with letting go. Brothers, in the next 2 weeks, let go of all those things keeping you from the love of God. This is the rebirth of Christ in our hearts. This is the light of the world in our lives. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's not so that we get gifts and presents and all those wonderful things. We know all this, but even as us as adults, we need to be reminded that it's more important to be in relationship with that Christ child, to invite him into our lives, to take over, to invite him, to give him permission to take over, to rule our lives, a little babe, to be the ruler of our life, to help us become like him, to lay down our lives every day, because that's what he came into the world to do, out of love for you and me. And men, I know it's hard for us, but we must enter into those realities, that prayer, that meditation. Let it be yours this Advent season. As Juan Diego took the message of Our Lady to the Aztec people and the bishop and the Mexican people of his day, take the love of Christ into the world, into your workplace, into your families. That's all. That's as simple as it gets. And yet we complicate it. We overthink it, and it becomes difficult. It's not difficult, brothers. We must surrender. We must surrender ourselves to the will of God. And the will of God is that you get to know him as a baby in a manger on Christmas Day. What does that mean for you? Is it just a simple story from 2,000 years ago, or is it forever going to change your life as you come to know that child and who he was and who he is and who he remains? 30 seconds left in this program. We're just going to thank you again for allowing us to be on the airwaves. We ask you to support Holy Spirit Radio, especially this time of the year, as the end of year giving, as I said, is very important. Please support Holy Spirit Radio. This is a privately funded ministry here, and we survive as far as bringing the airwaves and bringing the Catholic good news on the airwaves through your generosity. So please support Holy Spirit Radio. Go to holyspiritradio.org in this Christmas season and give generously. So we meet again, I think. I don't know if I'm in December 23rd, Dale, but December 23rd is on my calendar. Maybe I'll be here. I don't know. We might be closed. But if not, have a blessed Christmas and rest of Advent.